And a short time ago, I spoke with COVID Response Minister Chris Hipkins, who is also the Education Minister, and asked him why the government was allowing potentially unvaccinated senior students to go back to school.
We made the decision some time ago that we weren't going to prevent people accessing education or healthcare or other sort of essential services because they were unvaccinated. So just like we wouldn't say you couldn't go to the supermarket if you're unvaccinated, you still have a right to access food. Similarly, we want to make sure that kids can continue their education.
Couldn't they be taught remotely like they are being now?
One of the things that we've heard back from schools is it's very, very difficult to support students both in the classroom and to learn from home. And, you know, that really puts a huge amount of pressure on those teachers to try and support kids learning in different environments. So we've got to try and keep this simple. That those teachers and those students are going to be under a lot of pressure in the next 4 or 5 weeks as they head down to exams. And so we want to provide as much certainty and simplicity as we possibly can.
Why not let the younger kids back, the ones who are able to be vaccinated, 12 years and above? Why not let them back as well?
At the moment, we do still want to try and keep the numbers on site as lower if we can. By having only the senior students back on site, it does mean that schools won't be as busy as they normally would be, and that helps to lower the risk at this point.
Some of those senior students, in essence, are only coming back to sit exams, so presumably they won't be on campus full-time every day. Couldn't you have offered some kind of rotation system?
It's quite possible that later on, if we're still at this point and we haven't been able to increase the number of students on site, that as students head off for exams, we can bring other secondary school students on site. We'll be working through all of that over the next week or so. We're going to be discussing it again at Cabinet on Monday, because I'm also aware that those primary school students who have been at home for a long period of time also are very keen to get back to school, and I think some of their parents are keen to get them back to school as well.
But Minister, realistically, is it more likely that primary students will not go back to school as in proper class until next year because they are unvaccinated and therefore potentially at higher risk, and the time it would take to make any changes, well, virtually the whole year's disappeared. So is it more likely that those students are actually going to spend the rest of the year learning from home?
Realistically, I couldn't give an answer on that right at this particular moment. The high rates of vaccination across the whole community, though, and Auckland now is heading up around 89%, I think we'll hit 90% at some point in the next few days, that does provide an extra layer of protection to young people. And obviously, as we get to this, you know, those people being fully vaccinated, so having had their second dose, again, that just adds even more protection. So, things are evolving, things are shifting here, and that does open up more possibilities, including in that school environment.
Okay, let's move on to MIQ settings. You're dropping some big hints here. Will any changes to MIQ be in time to allow more people to come home to New Zealand for Christmas?
We haven't put particular times on that at this point. There's still some decisions to be made. But what I have said is, you know, what's on the table in terms of being considered, shortened MIQ, a mix of MIQ and home isolation, more home isolation, all of those things are on the table. In light of the fact that certainly in Auckland at the moment, you know, the risk of contracting COVID-19 in Auckland is to some extent higher than contracting it from someone who's coming across the border. One of the challenges in making these decisions, though, is that that's the case in Auckland, but it's not the case around the rest of the country. And of course, people coming in across the international border don't just stay in Auckland, they spread out around the country.
So is it a possibility, Minister, that you could tag people coming into Auckland and allow them to self-isolate prior to Christmas, but have different regulations for people flying into other cities?
Look, I don't want to preempt. We're working our way through a whole variety of different options.
Are you working on that option, though, Minister?
I wouldn't rule that out. I wouldn't necessarily rule that in at this point either. But I do think in the next, you know, within the next week, people will hear quite a bit more from us. If we look internationally, there are some countries who have been very slow to move on their border settings after Delta's taken off within the community, and that doesn't seem particularly logical. So I think, you know, I think we do acknowledge that cases in the community changes the dynamic around border restrictions.
Okay, so when it comes to Auckland, there's two things to consider, right? There are rules and restrictions inside the boundary, and then there's the boundary itself. So if we can start with inside Auckland, do you think that inside the Auckland boundary, the city will be at a true level two by Christmas? And by that I mean shops open, able to go to the pub, go to restaurants, go to the cinema. Do you think that is going to happen in time for Christmas? Yes, no, or unsure?
Well, I think what the Prime Minister is going to set out Friday, and people have already heard, you know, some of the details about this because of the consultation we've been doing, is a different way of looking at COVID-19 restrictions. And I think that Auckland, you know, heading up now to, you know, 89% vaccination, well on the way to 90%, Auckland will be sort of moving into that new way of doing things, a new way of thinking about things, which will mean that the Alert Level 1, Alert Level 2 framework will to some extent be parked to one side, and we'll be looking at different considerations as we get to those high rates of vaccination.
Is it possible that Aucklanders will be able to enjoy those freedoms inside the boundary, but they will be restricted to Auckland and stopped from going even to other level two areas, that they'll just be within that invisible fence? Is that possible at Christmas?
That's certainly possible. So I guess what one of the questions would be, and it will depend what happens around the rest of the country, but is it possible that restrictions in Auckland get eased before, and that a boundary, the considerations around removal of the boundary around Auckland are treated separately, and that is certainly possible.
So there is a possibility, a distinct possibility, Aucklanders could in essence be trapped in their region, but enjoying freedoms within that region.
That's certainly a possibility.
Are you going to allow unvaccinated people to fly around the country and holiday this summer from whatever region?
Look, Air New Zealand have not yet made a decision about how they want to treat domestic travellers on their airline network, but whether we impose a vaccination requirement for air travel in New Zealand is something that we have not yet made a decision on. I know Air New Zealand have already made the decision that those flying on the international network will need to be fully vaccinated. They haven't made a decision about that for domestic travellers.
Is the government actively giving any consideration to how it might handle that?
We're considering where vaccination should be required and where it should be voluntary. Obviously, it's still voluntary for people to get a vaccination, but in the future, I think that they're likely to find that there'll be some things that they won't be able to do if they're not vaccinated. And it could well be that air travel and moving around the country on planes is one of those things.
So, in terms of vaccination mandates, which other sectors are you looking at? So, the prison service?
We've just made the announcement on the prison service.
Yeah. Any others?
They are in. The health education workforces are in. At this point, that's the extent of the decisions we've made so far.
2,000 rooms being released in the next MIQ voucher virtual lobby. Why so few?
It's partly a reflection of the fact that we've released a lot of rooms over the last couple of months through the lobby system. And of course, we are also accommodating increasing numbers of community cases within MIQ as well.
And that was COVID-19 Response Minister Chris Hipkins, who also happens to hold the education portfolio.